Casey Coleman spent 7 years as the General Services Administration's CIO. Her decision to leave in January 2014 had more to do with personal goals.
I had been feeling for probably a year before I actually made a transition that it was personally time for me to think about doing something different, challenge myself in new ways, develop new skills, continue to grow professionally, and to stay challenged in new ways. And so I had been thinking about it for some time before I actually found the right opportunity, and in fact might have stayed even longer because I was very happy at GSA if I hadn't found what I felt was just the right next move for me here at AT&T Government Solutions.
Simone Zickman was the CIO at the Commerce Department for 4 years. His decision to leave in August was a matter of timing.
For me, it wasn't as much an issue of being worn out as much as it was an issue of timing, partly for me to find something new, but also there had been a lot of work over the year and a half or so prior to my departure in the area of IT portfolio management, setting up policy, doing planning. And at some point, you have to move from planning to execution. And if you're going to stay through an execution phase, that's going to be another long-term commitment to the agency. And so there's a timing issue that comes up. At what point is there a good break point to transition to from one CIO to a successor CIO? And I felt like that was another thing that played into my timing, was it felt like a good time to turn things over to somebody new to keep carrying things forward.
Zickman joined Attain as its chief technology officer later in 2014. Coleman and Zickman are but two examples of what seems like a mass exodus of CIOs and other senior level IT officials from government. From November 2013 to October 2014, Federal News Radio tracked a constant stream of senior IT executives on the move. The numbers are astonishing. 23 total CIOs or senior level IT leaders have either left government or changed jobs within government. Collectively, they had 96 years of experience and their average tenure was 4.2 years. But what came from the analysis of the data and talking to current and former CIOs was there wasn't one overriding reason for the mass exodus. The reasons for such a large number of senior IT executives on the move are many and varied. Former CIOs and other observers say the CIO job has gotten more difficult over the years. Others say the economy improved in 2014, meaning there are more opportunities for senior executives in industry. And several pointed out that the aging of the federal workforce means several longtime feds are eligible for retirement. Karen Evans is a former administrator of e-government and IT in the Office of Management and Budget and a former federal CIO.
I would say it's a tougher job today. There's a couple things. Because one, the CIO's job in the public sector is a little bit different than the private sector. I know everybody says it's the same, but it is different because of the accountability mechanism for a CIO in public sector. With the 24-hour news cycle, with GAO, your IG, how the whole news cycle works, at least during my tenure, the 24-hour news cycle was coming in, right? And we were working 24/7, but at least we had a little bit of a break between when a news story would hit and when we would have time to make corrective actions. CIOs today don't have a break.
Evan says the evolution of technology, including the constant cyber and physical threats that CIOs have to deal with, all add to the stress and complexity of the job. Historical data of CIO's tenure to compare 2014 to previous years doesn't readily exist. The last time the Government Accountability Office looked at the CIO tenure was in 2011. In that report, auditors found the average length of time CIOs stayed in their job was just over 2 years. But anecdotally, longtime federal IT community members agree. 2014 saw an especially high CIO turnover rate. Dave Winogren is a former Navy CIO, Defense Department Deputy CIO, and now Vice President for Technology at the Professional Services Council, an industry association.
There are multiple forces at work, I think. First off, these are tough jobs, so there is the sort of, I have a great run, and then the burnout recharge factor. 4 years in these jobs, I found, was an interesting time, so there's that at work. And then for political appointees, people are now making choices about whether you're going to stay till the end of an administration or move out now, because it's not good form to leave with less than a year to go. For career civil servants, there are several additional factors. First off, it is a pinnacle job for some technology leaders. So, you know, where else in government might you want to go once you've been a CIO? So you may choose to leave government. And frankly, you know, shutdowns, furloughs, sequestrations, no raises, it's not been a very conducive environment for people wanting to stay. You know, I'd say workforce 101 is retaining a workforce involves ensuring people feel that their contributions and sacrifices are valued.
Winogrand, who's also a member of the CIO SAGE program at the Partnership for Public Service, mentions the Workforce 101 role, making sure the contributions are valued. That issue also came up from several former CIOs. They say the lack of managerial support was one major reason for some of the turnover. But to be clear, they say it wasn't the only reason why so many CIOs left. One former CIO who requested anonymity says there were too many occasions when they were trying to do what was right, but were not able to get the support they needed from their agency's senior leaders or from OMB. Another former CIO agrees with that assessment. This source caused the support from OMB underwhelming as they were trying to make some major changes within their former agency. The second former CIO also says when CIOs need help, the silence from OMB was deafening. A third former CIO offers that the administration's lack of support for the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA, which did eventually become law in December, rang hollow across the federal IT community. This former executive adds that the diminished IT management vision over the last few years from OMB also impact CIO effectiveness and created frustrations. Mark Foreman is a former OMB administrator of e-government and IT and helped write the Clinger-Cohen Act of 1996, which established the authorities of CIOs in law. He says the success of CIOs are tightly coupled with their relationships across the agency and within the government at large.
On the one hand, part of what could be happening, and I know it has in certain these instances, there's a change in leadership in the department or the agency, and new people come in as leaders, and they naturally want to bring in their own people, or you feel that now's a good time to move on because you were a team with the secretary or agency head, and that person's moved on, so you should move on. And by the same token, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's government or industry, desire to bring in fresh blood, you know, new ideas when a new leader comes in. And you know, while that can't be a blanket, you know, given the list of people you mentioned, I've no doubt that that plays into some of this calculus as well.
Now, no matter the reason why CIOs and other senior IT leaders left government, the impact on programs and projects can be severe. OMB spokesman Brown says the CIO Council is leading the effort to ensure a smooth transition. Brown says the council has an onboarding process in which the staff works directly with new CIOs to orient them to the administration's priorities. The CIO Council also will introduce them to some of their peer CIOs, expose them to a library of best practices, and help introduce them to the federal IT community. Karen Evans says agency succession plans over the years have been mixed. Some do quite well, which leads the agency to not missing an IT beat. Others struggle, and that will leave a long-term impact on the agency. At GSA, for example, Coleman says she took both a long-term and a short-term approach to make sure her agency stayed on track.
Just in general, the kind of things that I tried to do, delegate and empower people, make sure that I'm not the only one who knows about critical projects, make sure that others and the leadership team are empowered to go to key meetings and to speak for the organization and to have clear understanding about what they're empowered to do so that they can execute and take some chances and be responsible in a way that prepares them to step into the next leader's role if necessary. We did things like swap assignments. We had executive coaching that helps people with individual growth. We did a lot of bringing in analyst firms like Gartner and Forrester to help us understand what best-in-class IT organizations look like. How is the IT organization changing?
At Commerce, Zickman says he announced his decision to leave in January. He stayed on until June to let the new CIO, Steve Cooper, get settled in.
We certainly did make sure that all the hot issues were teed up for early discussion, for early education of Steve when he came in. We wanted to make sure he knew what was already moving, what kind of momentum we had. On the other hand, I also was careful to not want to undermine Steve's future ability to lead the organization with his own vision. And so so I wanted to make sure that he had the opportunity to understand how things looked when he was coming in, what was going on, but at the same time also have the opportunity to change direction if he needed to. And so one of the things that I worked with my folks on was giving him the ability to establish his own direction as the CIO for the organization.
Commerce and GSA are just two examples of agencies that filled their CIO position rather quickly, but that's not always the case. Of the 23 positions that opened up during the 12-month period from November 2013 to October 2014, six of those positions remain vacant today. Those that are still open include the Defense Department, the Federal CIO, and the Homeland Security Department's Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And several positions were filled in the last few months, meaning that there were acting executives for much of the year. Dave Winogrand warns that any CIO position that remains open for a significant amount of time, specifically a career position, should be a sign of how the agency believes in the value of the CIO.
There are just three basic criteria that help drive people's interest in a job like this. Who do you get to work for? Who do you work with? And what do you get to work on? And depending on how you can answer that question, if you're a federal agency CIO and the head of the agency has your back and is excited about the technology portfolio and wants to help drive change with you, then boy, what a great environment to go work with. And if you're going to actually get to work on things that make an important difference, then I think the job still has a lot of luster. But I think for each of the CIO jobs, you'd probably want to do that internal calculus right now to decide whether or not that particular CIO job has the luster it once did.
OMB spokesman Brown says the administration is trying to address the potential lack of luster. He says the U.S. Digital Service has been charged with helping to eliminate barriers to IT hiring and retention, such as exploring ways to bring flexibility to the federal hiring process. Brown says the White House also is working to improve the hiring process itself, create a culture of engagement through data-driven approaches to management, and build a world-class senior executive service. In Washington, Jason Miller, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.